The University of Kansas Health System is proud to be the official healthcare provider of the Kansas City Current. From youth athletes to the pros, we put player care first to turn their dreams into reality. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/kccurrent.
This is the Sports Psychology Hour with Dr. Andrew Jacobs.
I cannot express the gratitude what my son came and visited you.
Dr. Jacobs is in his 41st year as a sports psychologist.
I have seen a change in youth sports in the last 10, 15 years. I've talked about it a lot on this show.
The Sports Psychology Hour, the best advice on the radio each and every week.
Failure and losing and screwing up is something that happens in life. It happens in sports. And I think we have to teach kids how to do that more effectively.
This is where sports talk gets real.
That word, playing, it's gone from our society in a lot of ways with kids.
I wanted to tell you what a great service you provide to this community. I listen to your show every week. Thank you for what you do for our community, for all the parents, coaches, and athletes.
And now, here's your host, rated one of the best therapists in Kansas City, Missouri by OnlineTherapy.com, Dr. Andrew Jacobs.
Ready? I'm sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. Welcome to our show here at Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm here every Sunday morning talking about the mental side of sports. I've been here for 21 years, my 31st year on radio, my 42nd year of work as a sports psychologist. Look forward to doing the show with you every week as we delve into the mental side of sports, take your calls, and get into issues about mindsets and sportsmanship and focus and confidence and all those types of things. And love to hear from you, have you participate in the show. And, you know, I've been doing this show a long time. I've dealt with a lot of topics, whether it's how to help your kids enjoy sport, you know. The whole purpose to me of youth sports should be about having fun. Having fun. And as we move up the ranks from youth sports to maybe competitive sports to middle school to high school and all the way to college, the fun aspect still has to be there. And how do we keep it fun? Well, there are a lot of ways to keep it fun. You know, you've got to have a good coaching staff that enhance the positive things that go on. There has to be that trust in your coaches who coach your kids, whether it's, you know, youth sports or all the way up to high school or the professional level. Coaching integrity is an issue, you know, we haven't really talked much about on this show. We have over the years hit on it at times. And that's what I want to get into today. In light of a couple of things that happened this past week. And a couple of things came up. So, Blake, share with us what happened to the Boston Celtics head coach.
Essentially, what happened was is the Boston Celtics head coach had an inappropriate relationship, as far as I know. It's been kind of the waters have been a little muddied, but as far as we know, there's been an inappropriate relationship with a
staff member.
Yes, a female staff member.
And his name is?
His name is Ime Udoka.
Ime Udoka. All right, that's the Boston Celtics, not a youth sports team. That's the Boston Celtics.
And they have suspended him for an entire year.
Right. And he took over last year and led them to the playoffs and to the NBA championship, where they had a chance to win. Very highly thought of. And now he's been accused of this. He's and basically, essentially admitted it by agreeing to take the year off. They didn't fire him, which is interesting. They suspended him for a year. Then you have the case of the Olathe Northwest wrestling coach, whose name is Stephen Albert Mesa, PE education and wrestling coach. Appeared in court this past Thursday, facing felony charges, accused of having sexual relationships with a student. He's being charged with three counts of unlawful sexual relationships, which is a felony. and they claim these are crimes that happened between July 1st and August 26th with the same victim all three times. This follows behaviors of coaches. Let's face it, coaches are people. And this is where I want to go with this. Coaches are people. They're human beings. They screw up. They make mistakes. I've talked forever on this show about mental health in sports, mental health in athletes. And for years, most people were sitting here telling me, you know, this is ridiculous. Come on, they're athletes. Well, athletes are people. You know, I was the Royal Psychologist a couple times back in 1990. I got to know George Brett, Tom Gordon, Brett Saberhagen, Bo Jackson, Willie Wilson, Frank White. All kinds of great, great, great people. But they're people. You know, I had a locker in the locker room. These guys got dressed the same way. Undressed, you know, ate, went to the bathroom, did everything everybody else does. They're still people. They have emotions and feelings. But if you're a coach, there's a different standard that you have to live up to. Because first and foremost, you're a role model. And when you act inappropriately, in whatever capacity that is, what's that saying to the people you're guiding, teaching, directing, instructing? Well, it's telling them they can do it too. You had a scenario last year with Urban Meyer coaching the Jacksonville Jaguars, playing in Cincinnati after they lost. There's video of him at a club with young women sitting on his lap after they lost. He didn't apparently fly back with the team. All right. Well, he's no longer coaching in the NFL. My sense is he probably won't again after the way Jacksonville played last year, which Doug Peterson's taken it over and they've turned it around. They're actually in first place right now after two games. Coaching integrity is what I want to get into today. And what are the guidelines set up for coaches along this way? I want to open up our phone lines right away at 913-3810-810 and find out, if you're a coach, what are you taught about integrity? What are you taught about being a leader? And what about behavior? I mean, you are human. You screw up. Everybody does. I have, you have, we all have. But what are you taught about that in terms of being a coach? You know, the sexual inappropriate behavior is disgusting for coaches. This wrestling coach at Olathe Northwest, I hope they throw the book at him. Having sex with a 16-year-old girl, there's no place for that. And not just once, but several times. And I can personally relate to all this. Because as the team psychologist for the Kansas City Blazers back for almost 30 years, we had a coach, and I talked about this years ago, named Craig Ivancic, who was my son Gregory's coach, who ended up getting caught attempting to have sex with a girl on the team, teenage girl on the team, ended up going to jail, is now out of jail, went to jail for a number of years. Here's the deal. Everybody loved Craig. He was a great guy. At least that was the impression he gave everyone. They did a thorough vetting on him before he came here from Nashville, I believe is where he came from. But he had this history that nobody knew about. All the kids loved him. My son loved him. He came to my son's bar mitzvah. Wonderful guy. Except he had this hidden part of him. And when it was discovered, other things came out as well. You know, they did a thorough vetting of him before he was hired. But he had this part of him he hid. So if you are a parent What are you looking for in a coach for your child? And what are the guidelines that you set when you sign your son or daughter up for a team? 913-3810-810 is our number. If you're a coach, what kind of guidelines are set up for you? What kind of training is there for you in terms of this type of stuff? If you're an administrator, what do you do? I mean, here's the Olathe Northwest wrestling coach, obviously not in a relationship with one of the wrestlers on his team. I'm assuming that this young lady was not on his team. But nonetheless, having a relationship with a student, and this individual is married, apparently had kids. So what do you do? 913-3810-810 is our number. If you are an administrator, I'd like to hear from you. What are the guidelines you set up for that? How do you check out someone's background in these things? This is a real issue that unfortunately happens a lot more than we know, because most of these things are not reported. And I've known of many people over the years who have had these situations happen. I've had to deal with it myself. Like I said, for my son's coach, as well as the number of people I've counseled. So if you're an administrator, where does coaching integrity come in, and how do you judge someone you're going to hire? If you're a parent, what do you do? If you question the ethics of the man or woman who's coaching your son or daughter, how do you handle that? 913-3810-810 is our number. This is an uncomfortable topic to talk about, but it's a necessary one in light of the fact that the Boston Celtics head coach has been suspended for a year for inappropriate sexual contact with a staff member, and a high school wrestling coach the same week here in Kansas City is fired and is going to be going to court and probably to jail for having sex with a student. So what do you do as a parent when you're signing your son or daughter up for a team? What do you look for in the coach? And what would be an indication for you that maybe we shouldn't be on this team because I don't like the coach? And maybe it's just not sexual behavior. Maybe it's just behavior. Maybe it's just arrogance, being the type of person that comes across as overly controlling, demanding. What do you do about that? So if the coach coaching your son or daughter is somebody you question, how do you handle that? Last night I ran into a young man. My wife and I went down to the Plaza Art Fair, and I ran into a young man who played on my son Gregory's baseball team, youth baseball team. And we were talking about a couple things, and he remembered the coach I've talked about on this show many times, who in the next game we were playing baseball, this is like 11 or 12-year-olds, the coach grabbed a young man, tried to steal third, tripped, fell on his face, came off the field. This coach threw his hat down, kicked the fence, the bats and helmets fell off the bat rack. He then grabbed this young man and threw him against the fence. And when I confronted, because we're sitting right behind where the next game, he then cursed at me, and then he was grabbed by the first base coach saying, "What are you doing?" He was fired. Guy had his name on a law firm here in town, on the building. Obviously a successful attorney, but a failure as a coach. You don't do that. And what did he do to that kid? He damaged him for a long time, because when he was a sophomore in high school, his dad called me and said, "We need to bring him in and talk to you." Should have done it years ago. All right, 913-3810-810 is our number. No one's called in yet. I'd like to get some calls in here. If you're a coach And you have another coach you're dealing with or aware of who maybe is going over the coaching bound, the ethic boundaries of being a coach. What do you do about it? Do you walk away? Do you ignore it? Do you confront it? If you're an administrator, how do you handle these situations? I mean, first of all, any adult that's abusing a child or a teenager is a sick person, and we all know that. But if you're a coach, you're looked upon with authority, you're looked upon with respect, you're looked upon in a way where people admire you. But you're human, you screw up. But when you go over the boundary, you should be gone. Blake, what do you think about this?
You're 100% right. And I think it's one of the sickest and just cruelest things that you can do, especially as and this can come in all levels of sports at every age group, but you know, we tend to see it, you know, outside of Ime Udoka's position, we tend to see it at a younger age. And in my opinion, that is one of the worst things you can do, because when you're in a position of power like that, when you have a power structure of coach and athlete, and you abuse that to somebody who is supposed to be putting their trust in you, that is one of the sickest things that you can do. And it doesn't, unfortunately, it happens on the sexual side. It doesn't have to happen on that side. It can happen just in a mental abuse aspect.
Well, I was just going to say, it's not just sexual abuse, it's emotional abuse. The emotional abuse that so many coaches lay on kids is devastating to me, okay? Because, I have a saying, as you know, a good coach checks his or her ego at the door. It's not about them, it's about the athletes they're coaching. But when you put your personal needs, your personal desires ahead of these young people, you are looked upon as a leader, as someone who can, you're looked upon with respect. Let's face it, I just had my 50-year high school reunion a couple weeks ago, and saw people I haven't seen in years. It was great to see so many people. And one of my good friends, who I've known since grade school, he was very brash. He wouldn't take grief from anybody. And we had a teacher, our first day of Spanish class, our sophomore year, the teacher just started speaking Spanish and nonstop. And he made a comment about, I don't understand anything she's saying. She turned bright red, looked at him and said, well, if you don't want to be in here, you can leave. Well, he got up and left. Now, some people say that's wrong, but that was his personality. He wasn't gonna take any of that type of stuff. But I know I was sitting in my chair frozen to it. I'm going, oh my God, I'd love to get out of here. I don't want to be in here. But I was scared to death. It's a teacher. People who are teachers and coaches are looked upon as authority figures. And so when you have these types of situations, this happens a lot more than we know. And I'm sure of it. Because people are scared to report it. People are scared to say anything.
Well, and where the mental mind game comes in is, how are you going to be punished for reporting it? If you're a player, your immediate thought is, well, one, I'm not going to get any playing time if I try to report something on somebody who's my coach. I'm not going to get to play anymore. And that alone, and that sounds silly, but in the mind of a kid, in the mind of an athlete, somebody who is training and somebody who's putting so much emphasis on playing the sport and wanting to participate, play with their friends, maybe make this a future, that's a big deal. And so how much does the student allow or the athlete allow something to be let go because the importance of playing or the importance of being a part of a team is more important than maybe mentioning something that's going to ruffle the feathers. But that's so sad, because that's exactly what should be happening.
Well, you're hitting on a very important word. It's called fear. Fear of the truth coming out. Fear of being, hopefully this young lady, she's 16, her name will not be, brought up. No one's going to know who it is. But I'm guessing if there's a court case, she may end up appearing in court. I don't know. That's not my area. But fear is a big part of this. And, you know, the Boston Celtics situation, how did that come out? You know, the head coach who leads them to the NBA championship is suspended for a year. Now, it's interesting. Why was he not fired? You know, I wonder what the rationale was for them to not fire him.
Well, according to the reports, apparently it was a consensual relationship. It wasn't a predatory relationship. So I think that was one of those things where they're like, well, if you're two consenting adults, it's still inappropriate in the workplace.
But they have, guidelines there, my understanding. This is something we don't do. So because my point is, if they were last place in the Eastern Division, the Eastern Conference last year, he probably would no longer be coaching.
That's probably spot on.
I'm guessing. I mean, I don't know. I'm not there.
I think we both have been around sports enough to know that that's exactly the case.
I would think
so. Had this been a bad team and not just come off an NBA Finals appearance with one of the best teams in the league, that coach would have been gone.
So I'm talking about coaching ethics today, and I'd love to find out from you, if you're a coach, you're an administrator, when someone goes over the line with their behavior, what's done about it? Is it addressed? Is it ignored? This is an uncomfortable topic to talk about. I realize that. It's not the typical thing we talk about on this show, but in light of the fact that a high school wrestling coach was fired this past week and arrested for having sex with a student, 16-year-old student, in light of the Boston Celtics head coach was suspended for a year for participating in an inappropriate relationship with a staff member. This is something I wanted to bring up today. Blake, you want to jump in here?
Yeah, and we're going to get into it here in the next segment for sure before we go to break, but just we're going to talk a lot more about situations that coaches should understand moving forward, where the guidelines should be set, and where that line really is, and when it is and not okay to approach an athlete or a student in a certain way.
I mean, I've had to deal with this in my life with an inappropriate psychiatrist who I had to deal with in a personal situation and reported him for inappropriate sexual contact with clients, patients, okay, and the Board of Healing Arts, which is a disgrace in the state of Kansas, suspended for a whole week. He should have been in jail. He'd be in jail in 19 states for what he did. Okay, behavior like this happens across the board. But in terms of sports and in terms of athletics, okay, it's totally inexcusable, as we know. So I'd like to hear from you. If you're a coach, you're an administrator, you're a parent, you're an athlete, where did coaching ethics come into play when you're on a team? If you're an administrator and you hear things about a coach or you find out things about a coach, what do you do? What are the guidelines you have set up? Our phone number is 913-3810-810. And like I said, this is a topic we don't normally talk about on this show, but in light of the fact this has happened twice in the past week, and actually there's a third case as well in the state of Missouri, I'd like to hear from you and get your thoughts. 913-3810-810. We're on the Leader in Sports, Sports Radio 810 WHB. Hello again, everyone. I am sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. This is the Sports Psychology Hour from our flagship station, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City. I'm here every Sunday morning from 7 to 8 local time. Our shows are podcasted everywhere, as well as on my website, winnersunlimited.com. I've got close to 10 years of podcasts on there. If you want to listen to them, I basically cover every topic when it comes to the mental side of sports and dealing with things. And I hope you enjoy listening to the things we bring up in here. And today I'm bringing up a topic, like I said, that is an uncomfortable topic to talk about, but it's about inappropriate relationships with coaches, with athletes, in light of the Boston Celtics coach being suspended for a year for an inappropriate relationship with a staff member, and the Olathe Northwest wrestling coach being fired for charges of unlawful sexual relations with a student. Our phone number is 913-381-0810. We're going to go to a caller here in a second. But I'm bringing this topic up. It's an uncomfortable topic to talk about. But it's when we need to, because this stuff happens a lot. It's not reported. It's not dealt with. But it happens a lot more than we think. Like I said, I've had to deal with it personally myself with my son's swim coach years ago. And we confronted it. We dealt with it. But it's not easy. All right, 913-381-0810 is the number. I'd love to hear from your coach, an administrator, a parent. Get your thoughts. Okay, let's go to Mark. Mark, thank you for calling. How are you this morning?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. Tell us what you'd like to share with us.
Well, I was driving, and I listened to your show. I always listen to ESPN and listen to your cast there, and it was like, man, back in between 2008 and 2012, I was a AD of a Catholic middle school. And so we had two situations where we had to actually fire two coaches for what you're referring to.
And, inappropriate sexual contact with a student.
Well, I don't know if this is the correct subject or not, but one, we actually did a background check on the guy, and he went to jail because of inappropriate behavior with a 14-year-old a long time ago. But we just found out about it. So we at that time, we found out about it. So we had to fire him. And the other one was another coach was, or assistant coach was, kind of inappropriately, you know, he wanted to be a girls' basketball coach. And he was like, very inappropriately doing stuff with the kids, you know, not like, you know, doing, just being, what's the word? Very friendly, very handsy.
Touchy-feely.
And so, so I'm just saying, when I was doing it, when we saw something that was out of line, it's a volunteer job, and, they had to go.
How'd you deal with that? I mean, and how was that handled? And were these guys in denial? Did they challenge you? I mean, what happened?
The first one, he walked away really, I guess you would say, cordially. And the other one got a little bit aggressive. Not like, you know, he wasn't going to, like, hit you or nothing like that. But he was, like, very argumentative about that, but they all had to go. Yeah, this topic is really, it's really sensitive, and it's very uncomfortable to talk about.
Yes, it is. And I appreciate, I very much, you know, appreciate you calling up and sharing this, sir, because as I started, it is an uncomfortable thing. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's really dicey, and you know, you don't want to be wrong, but you also want to be right.
So let me ask you, Mark, that you just hit it right on the head. You don't want to be wrong, but you want to be right. So how did you handle that emotionally? Because that can't be easy. That couldn't have been easy for you.
No, but here's the thing. I think when I heard your show, I got all emotional. And because I have two daughters. And it's... oh my gosh! If someone did that to my kid, I'd be like going after him.
Well, thankfully, thankfully that hasn't happened, and you didn't do that.
Like, go after them. So, oh man.
Well, let me say something to you, sir. First of all, you and I've never said this, but you've got some big kahunas, man, to call up this show and share this. So, thank you. Okay, thank you for doing that. You're being very brave by doing this, and I appreciate that.
Sometimes you got to do what's right.
Well, this does happen more often than we probably know. Would you agree with me on that?
I would totally agree.
But I mentioned the word fear, right? I mentioned that word.
Yes, you did.
And
that's a strong power mechanism.
Well, I learned a long time ago personally, because I as I said, I had a situation with a psychiatrist, and I turned him into the Board of Healing Arts for inappropriate behavior, and he assaulted me before a radio show one time. 5 minutes before I was on the air, this is years ago, he came after me and assaulted me 5 minutes from the radio station. And fortunately, my co-host Nick Lowry showed up and helped me get through that. But let me tell you, it's not easy to go through this stuff personally, because I've been through it. But you have to, you know, you have to be strong enough, and sir, you are. And what you did was right. And the second guy started to challenge you. What right did he have to even say anything?
Well, the altercation was not violent, but it was also very intense. But that's what had to happen.
Well, if you can't, what'd you say to him? How'd you present it to him?
I said, I'm not going to say his name.
Hey,
dude.
No names.
I'm going to say, hey, dude, this is what the girls are going through, and they don't feel comfortable with you, and you're gone. I mean, I was pretty abrupt. I said, it's time to go. That's pretty much it.
And his reaction was what?
His reaction was, what the F are they talking about? What the F is this? What the F is that? You know, getting all, you know, really, I guess,
hostile.
Word, obstinate. Yeah, hostile. And I said, dude, you got to go. I said, first of all, I'm in charge of the athletic department, and you're not part of it no more, period.
What happened after he was gone? Did parents say anything to you?
No, it was, he was actually a parent. He was a volunteer coach.
Oh, my goodness.
And the family left the school within probably 9 months.
Well, you did the right thing, and you know, I feel sorry for
him. I was driving to get some coffee, and I was listening to ESPN, and I heard what you were talking about, and I was like, I got to share this because, man, this has been weighing my head for like 10 years.
Well, I hope this is helping you to talk about it, Mark. You needed to get it off your chest. And
yeah, it was nice.
Well, sir, you did let me tell you something. You did the right thing. And you know, you had guts to do what you did. Because probably definitely you saved some kids from incredible pain and anguish from these guys, from something that could have happened.
Well, I'm hoping I did.
I'm sure you did, sir.
What's fun? And here, since we're on sports radio, our team. I'm going to go ahead and pat myself on the back on this one. From
no, go ahead. You deserve to do that.
2015 is that we went from that school that everybody wanted to play because it was an easy win to a school that we got to play these people.
Well, then you hired some good people and you did some good things.
All the coaches that I hired most of them were like solid human beings. But when you find the bad apples, you got to get them out of the jar.
Let me ask you a question then in relationship to that.
Yep.
When you're hiring someone, because like I shared earlier, the swim coach who coached my son was vetted. He was looked upon very highly. I mean, I met the guy. I was around him for about 3 years. Great guy. Okay, except he had this hidden part of him that nobody knew about. And, well, somebody did, but, you know, then it came out, and boy, did it come out. And, you know, he was gone. So when you're going about hiring someone, what are you looking for?
Well, at first, when I was AD, I was more... To be honest, I was more about coaches who like to win. You know, and that's everybody. Every AD wants a coach that's willing to coach a team to win.
Let me stop you right there for a second. Let me stop you right there for a second. That's right.
Yep.
You want coaches that are going to win. Of course, where I come from, you want coaches who are going to develop and teach. And that's the winning. The winning. See, Mark. That I get it. This is, you know, WHB Sports Radio, and everybody talks about winning on this show, but or on this station. Yep. Except I talk about fun, development, mindsets, and the winning and losing as a result. And it's for kids.
Sure.
For kids, it shouldn't be as much about winning as it should be about the fun and the fundamentals and the growth. And I get it. You want to win. Most everybody wants to win, but that should be secondary or third, really.
Well, I always taught the kids we had coaches that it's easy to be a good winner. It's hard to be a good loser. And so.
Good point.
Like you were talking about wrestling, because you wrestled. When I was in high school, I wrestled.
No, I played tennis. I didn't wrestle. Just to clarify that.
Oh, but, I thought you were talking about a wrestling coach.
A wrestling coach.
Yeah,
correct.
Well, my coach, when I was wrestling in high school, he was about be smart. He taught us that. It's like I told my other coaches, like how to grow up and be. Now it's all about the. I get it about the win, but I was, you know, just be a good person. You know,
let me stop you right there. Isn't that what it should be about? I mean,
yeah,
you know,
it should be.
We hear all the time about coaches and athletes who are quote unquote not good people. Okay, we hear that all the time. And they may be good at what they, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs years ago, when Marty Schottenheimer was the coach, late Marty Schottenheimer, a great coach, at the end of his career, they signed a bunch of athletes with criminal records and questionable personalities. And that sort of led to his downfall. And, you know, that was against.
They were all about the win.
Well, yeah. I mean, there were a bunch of guys, Bam Morris, Wayne Simmons, Mark McCormick, a bunch of guys, Andre Rison, guys who had criminal issues or developed criminal issues or had problems. Not jumping all those on all those guys, but they had issues. And it turned into problems for the team and led to his losing his job. So I think that, you know, as your job as an administrator is to try to understand who these people are, and let's face it, people are dishonest, people lie, people have huge egos in this scenario. But you did the right thing, Mark.
I
want to congratulate you on that, and I'm glad you did.
No, I believe so. I mean, like you said, how do you hire those guys? I mean, you got to hire, sometimes you got to hire, because they're all volunteer jobs, you got to hire them on spec sometimes, and you got to ask questions, but you don't know the hidden secret. But luckily, we found the two that were not. Now I'm afraid that maybe some of the coaches that we hired that maybe weren't.
Let me ask a question. So after you let these guys go, how was that handled at the school? What did people say?
Thank you. That's pretty much what it was.
So there was a recognition and awareness that these guys needed to go.
Yeah, because I was very public with it.
Well, look.
I mean,
you did the right thing, and hopefully talking about it was a little bit therapeutic for you today to get it out, because you've probably been thinking about it for a long time. But
yeah, it's been like 10 years.
Well, you probably helped out a lot of kids and saved them from a lot of angst. I'm sure you did. So, sir, thank you for calling. And thank you for sharing this. But thank you most importantly for what you did.
All right.
Hope you listen again. Take care, Mark. Appreciate it.
I will. Thank you.
Okay, that frees up our lines here at 913-3810-810. That's why I do this show, ladies and gentlemen, because it's dealing with this stuff. And like I said, we're talking about the Boston Celtics suspending their head coach for a year for inappropriate sexual relations with a staff member, the Olathe Northwest wrestling coach fired and arrested for being accused of having sex with a student, inappropriate behavior by coaches, I'd love to hear from you. That frees up our lines. 913-38-1010. If you're an administrator like Mark, have you had to deal with this, and what did you do? If you are a coach at a school or an organization, and you're aware of a coach that's acting inappropriately, maybe not sexually, but inappropriately, what do? Do you say anything? Do you confront them? Or do you sit on your hands? 913-3810-810 is the number. I'm sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. Give me a call and let's talk. Hello, everyone. I'm sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. This is the Sports Psychology Hour. I'm here every Sunday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. talking about the mental side of sports, topics relating to mindsets and attitudes and coaching and parents and students. And sports is supposed to be fun, isn't it? But I'm bringing up a topic today that is a very uncomfortable one, and we saw that in our caller, Mark, who shared a story about being an athletic director having to fire two coaches who are inappropriate. I'm talking about this in light of the fact that the Boston Celtics suspended their head coach for a year for inappropriate sexual relationship with a staff member, and the Olathe Northwest High School wrestling coach was fired and arrested for inappropriate sexual relations with a 16-year-old student. Our phone number is 913-3810-810 if you want to join us. And we had a caller. He didn't want to come in the air. Blake, what did he want to talk about?
Yeah, essentially, it was a good call. And he was listening to the program, and he called in, and he's dealt with, you know, this kind of situation in schools for 20 years, or about 10, 20 years. And he said I've had a few different instances where I've had this happen. And unfortunately, what happens is it doesn't get – the word doesn't get spread throughout that person's – next stop. He said typically it stays in house, unfortunately. And what there needs to be is a registry or some way of communicating across all panels of, hey, this happened here. We can't let that not carry over to the next spot that person wants to go coach.
Well,
look at
look at Larry Nassar, the doctor with USA Gymnastics.
Carried over
100 women. 100 women.
From college to, I'm assuming, probably before that, if he was in high school, over into the Olympic team.
Well, he was with, you know, girls who were on the national team, potential Olympians. Okay, this comes back to fear, okay? And it's a fear issue. I get it. If you bring this up, you're exposing yourself. So, you know, if you're someone who this has happened to, you bring it up, the word's going to get out about who you are, possibly. And that's not easy to deal with. But at the same time, I know you're going to help other people out. And I know in that scenario, just to share what happened to me, you know, I turned this guy in, inappropriate behavior for a psychiatrist, and it was on TV. There was a story on TV. Fox 4 did a whole story about it. 55 people called me within 2 weeks after that appearance, me being on TV, about stuff this guy done to them. 55 people about inappropriate stuff. I don't know if any of it was true or all was true. I'm sure a lot of it was. But, you know, the guy got exposed, but people were scared. But why didn't you turn him in to the Board of Healing Arts? Scared, fear. I don't want to have to deal with it. But 55 phone calls I had. So this stuff goes on a lot. What were you going
to
jump in?
Well, I want to say something because I want to address any athletes that we might have listening to this show. Again, we've stated this multiple times throughout, you know, I played ball all the way up through college, okay? From 18 years of my life, I played ball. Been around a lot of different coaches. As an athlete, a coach, the boundaries that you should have with your coach, and you're going to know your coach, okay?
Well, you hope you do.
You hope you do. But a coach should not be really talking to you outside of the place that you're doing your business. And I get that there's specific instances where that might not be the case. But essentially, a coach shouldn't be texting you about relationships when you're at home. with that you have with you know, men, women. A coach should not be diving too deep into your personal life outside of the bounds of the relationship that you two have built. As soon as you feel as an athlete that you're in a position where a coach seems to be overstepping a boundary, whether it's with a question, whether it's with a hand placement, an odd touching of some sort, and you'll know when you don't feel comfortable, and that you do one of two things. You either tell that coach directly, hey, I want to address this with you. You know, you asked me this question. I didn't feel comfortable with it. You put your hand somewhere. I did not feel comfortable with that. Don't do that.
But the issue, you're hitting on the head. But this issue about this whole topic is fear.
Of course it is.
And it's fear.
And that's
of
what
exposure.
I'm trying to give to right. the athlete themselves is it is okay to speak up and say something. It is totally okay. You're going to have people in your corner.
Well, the reason I do this show and the reason I hope to do it for many more years to go, like I said, my goal is 50 years on the radio. I'm in 31. Do this show to help people out. And I think today we helped out Mark, who called in. I think there's no question about that because that's been bothering him for years. So he got it off his chest. And Mark, you've got some guts, sir, for calling up and sharing that today. But you did the right thing, not just once, but twice.
I would also like to say, if you're a coach listening to this and you have questions sometimes about, okay, well now, you know, maybe I'm overthinking what some of my scenarios and coaching tactics are. Let's just go with this. If you think it's probably borderline, just assume that it is. Assume that it's probably over the line. Until you're given strict permission or until that kid approaches you, just assume. Be always play it on the safe side. If you even are remotely around that.
Well, you're hitting it on the head, Blake. And I want to share this with everyone. There, you know, don't be scared to talk. Don't be scared to share. Don't be scared to discuss things. You know, I do this show every week to bring up topics in the world of sports that affect us all. And this is a topic that's an uncomfortable one, like I said. It's a difficult one to talk about, but we have to talk about it. And we did today. Our shows are podcasted everywhere and on my website, winnersunlimited.com. Please encourage people to listen to what we talked about today. And if this is something going on, report it, talk about it, discuss it. Don't be scared. You know, it's a disgusting thing, but unfortunately it happens a lot. I'm sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. You can get a hold of me at my website, drj@winnersunlimited.com. Give me a call at my office, 816-561-5556. Take care. We'll talk to you next week.